Do you shop online at popular places like Amazon, 1-800-Flowers, Orbitz, Family Christian Stores, Groupon, Lego, Old Navy, and more? You can help us raise funds for the station with one quick stop before you shop. Please go to shopkkxx.com before you shop online, and popular merchants like Amazon.com will donate a portion of your purchase to the station. It's that simple. Just one quick stop at shopkkxx.com, and you can help us continue this great Christian programming.
The Cohasset Neighborhood Church will be hosting a country gospel concert and potluck featuring Linda Vaca and band. The event will be held at The Pond near the Cohasset Community Association building on October 26th at 10:30 in the morning. Bring your favorite dish or dessert and a lawn chair. The church will be supplying hamburgers and hot dogs. Contact Russ at 680-7410 for questions. That's 680-7410.
Hi, this is Andrea.
And this is Cherie.
Are your trees sick?
If so, they need certified arborist Mark Wesley, your local tree doctor.
We have the most scientific technology in our area. M&S Wesley Tree Service can diagnose and treat your trees and write the proper prescription to keep your trees healthy for years to come.
Call M&S Wesley for your free consultation today. 855-899-TREE. That's M&S Wesley Tree Service at 855-899-TREE. M&S Wesley, your local tree doctor.
And Andy's Bullseye Repair.
Specializing in auto glass repair from bullseyes to full glass replacement. All insurance and major credit cards accepted. Call for a free estimate at 877-7387, 877-7387.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
I think one of the most significant moments in the church came... I don't even know the year. It was the Reformation, when Martin Luther... branched out and put up his 95 theses on the wall and on the church door, and basically said that the Catholic Church, which was just the church at the time, was wrong on a number of issues. And from that moment on, religion changed dramatically. And we're talking about the Lutherans. I'm a Lutheran, and myself, and on our show is the Reverend Donald Jordan, the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church celebrates this Sunday, Reformation Day. And Pastor, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jerry.
What is for those who are not in the know, explain Reformation Day and briefly what happened here.
Sure. The Reformation refers to what I would call the Western Catholic Church, the Western Roman Catholic Church, because there was a big break backing up about 500 years in the year 1054, which was called the Great Schism. And a lot of people forget about that, but Christianity had already divided into what we call the East, which would have been the Eastern Orthodox Church, and that occurred in 1054, because they did take some issues with the papacy and Roman Catholicism.
We do have an Eastern Orthodox Church.
We do. And that's a significant part of history, and sometimes that's forgotten. Mm-hmm. Well, we're dealing with the Western Church now, and this monk who actually at first studied to be a lawyer, Luther was going to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And he was riding on his horse one day and got struck by lightning, and he cried out to Saint Anne, who was the patron saint, the protector, and said, "I'll become a monk," because he was really frightened of God and scared, and he promised to become a monk, so he entered the monastery. And then Luther was trained in Roman Catholicism, was ordained a priest. And then think about this, and I oftentimes tease my Roman Catholic friends. I said, you actually shot yourselves in the foot because you made Luther a lecturer in theology at the University of Wittenberg. Mm-hmm. He taught the Bible. He taught the book of Romans, Galatians, the Psalms. And as he taught these things, and this is about in the early 1500s, 1505, 1506, thereabouts, and a little bit later, he came to the realization that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and not in our works, not in our merits. So he came to that realization. So as a result, and I'll just make this condensed now, Reader's Digest version, because time is limited, He posted on October 31st in the year 1517. You were asking about the year. It was 1517. He posted these 95 theses, which were just theses for debate. He wanted the church to debate these things. And they mostly centered around indulgences, which are time off from purgatory, things of this nature. Now, in 1517, Luther still believed in purgatory. He mentions this in the 95 theses. And actually, very few Lutherans have even read the 95 theses. But he was basically saying in the first theses that our Lord, when he said repent, when Jesus said repent, meant the whole life of a believer is one of repentance, of constantly confessing, constantly receiving forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how we have salvation. So that kind of started the debate. And off it was rolling. Now, Gutenberg, who invented the movable type several years earlier, Johannes Gutenberg, good old Germans, they helped technology here. And that propelled it because they were able to print these theses, and it spread like wildfire, And as a result, the Pope got wind of it, church leaders, and so on.
And Martin Luther was one. They had a bounty on his head, didn't
they? They did. That would come a little bit later in the year 1521 when he had to appear in this little town called Worms, Germany, spelled W-O-R-M-S, odd name. But he went before Emperor Charles V there, and that's another fascinating saga in Luther's life. So that took 4 years then to get to that point. In 1521, he travels to this town in Germany at this imperial, what they call a diet, which is a gathering of political church leaders, because church and state was really one back then. It didn't have the division like we have here in this country. So there he had to appear, and this is really fascinating. You forget about the man, Martin Luther, how he knew what God's word said. He knew the just shall live by faith, that Christ died for our sins. You're not going to buy your way into heaven, punch your ticket by your good works and merits. So he comes there, and he has to appear before the emperor and all these church leaders. He's quaking in his boots, and they ask him two questions. Number one, they had assembled all his books and all his writings there, a big pile of all these writings, because Luther was a prolific writer. He had translated the Bible. He wrote these theological treatises. They asked him, are these your works? And he said, yes, those are my works. And they said, will you recant of what you've written in your works? And you think Luther said, oh, no, I won't recant, or yes, I will recant. You know what he said? Give me time to think about it. Let me sleep on it tonight. So somehow we have this image of Luther standing up there very defiantly saying, yes, you know, yes. He was scared to death because he knew what would happen. He had to think on it. He had to sleep on it and pray on it. He did not recant initially. You know, we have that famous line, here I stand, I can do no other. He didn't say that until the following day when he came back. And then he finally said he was convinced by the scriptures and evident reason that the truths that he was articulating were in accordance with God's word, and he would not recant. Then the fight was on.
And the main sources are, again, justification, how we're saved, indulgences, prayer was... The praying to Mary, was that an issue as well?
There were many issues in the Reformation. We talked off air about celibacy. We talked about the role of Mary in salvation, purgatory, the authority of the Pope, the withholding of the cup in Holy Communion. The list goes on and on and on. There were many issues, but dominantly for Luther, it was the issue of indulgences, whether you could buy time off in purgatory or whether Christ gives you full and complete salvation through his forgiveness. And that was the dominant issue at this time. Now, later, those other issues would erupt.
But, of course, the Catholic Church ultimately acknowledged that indulgences were wrong, and they themselves have taken on some of the Augsburg Confession, in fact, I believe. And we have a time to talk a little bit about that after the break to continue this. And I'm curious, is the Lutheran Church, which is a very close to the Catholic Church, the first branch off Catholicism in some ways, is there any chance of those two faiths coming together again? Continue our discussion with Pastor Donald Jordan of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church after this break. Thrive in Financial for Lutherans helps make preparing for retirement easy. How? It all comes down to smart, simple strategies. That means no overly ambitious savings goals, just doable, manageable solutions to help you retire more comfortably, no matter what your means. Smart, simple, doable. Just ask any of our nearly 3 million members. In Chico, your Thrive in Financial representative is Daniel Cluas. Call 530-321-4059. Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Chico needs leadership, which will unite our community to solve our problems. Andrew Coolidge is a business and community leader who has the skills to get the job done.
Andrew will take on the hard issues like the downtown transient problem, the financial crisis, our slow permitting process, and the trashing of Bidwell Park.
Andrew has real solutions to restore Chico. He is the only candidate working to find answers to our problems before the election.
Andrew Coolidge is the councilman Chico needs now. Find out more at CoolidgeChico.com.
Paid for by Coolidge City Council 2014.
To preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit, yes, but what Jesus is saying is all elements of society are going to be touched by the gospel of Christ. That's the point. If you want to learn how to tell people about Jesus, then learn it from Jesus himself.
We have that and more on Hope for Today this week. Come join us.
Tune in for Hope for Today, weekdays at 8 a.m. here on KKXX.
Hi, this is your friend Steve Michaels inviting you to join me for a journey through the 20th century on The Afternoon Harvest, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 p.m. on 104.5 FM and 930 AM, KKXX, Life Radio.
This is Live Local Talk.
The memorial service for Michael Tomlinson, the pastor who passed away after being involved in a motorcycle accident over the weekend, will be held on November 5th at 11 o'clock in the morning at the Orville Church of the Nazarene. Michael T., he was known as, he was quite a man. He was a true person who was saved through the grace of God. When he was a young man, he spent 18 years in San Quentin. He was a white supremacist. He was a gangbanger. He was a heroin addict. He found Christ. He became a pastor, started Jordan Crossing Ministries for 14 years ago, and he brought people like himself to the church. He died in an accident while trying to visit a prison in Southern California. He got into a motorcycle accident, a prison where he was going to preach the Word of God to help save inmates so that they could find God. His service will be, again, at 11 o'clock on November 5th. That's a Wednesday, 11 o'clock in the morning at the Orville Church of the Nazarene. I have Pastor Donald Jordan of the Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. Their service time is 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and this Sunday is a special day. It is Reformation Day when Martin Luther, he is, I guess, the founder of the church, but he didn't like being considered a founder of the church. I think you told me once before that he hated the term Lutheran. He didn't like that term. He wanted to just reform the existing church and not create a new church.
One thing about the Reformation, it was a reformation, not a deformation. It did not deform the church. Now, let me say something that's very important for the listeners as well. There's the other side of the coin here, where some people back then did not think Luther went far enough, and there are still Christian groups out there that don't think he went far enough.
In what way?
They would look at myself, they would look at the Lutheran church as kind of kissing cousins of Roman Catholics.
Yeah, I think there's some people okay. that think that, yes.
And, for example, infant baptism is one thing. Mm-hmm. The belief in the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. I won't get into the issue of transubstantiation.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty close to that.
Close to that, but different. Uh-huh. The issue of vestments, of the liturgy, of the ritual, of things of this nature, okay, that would appear, quote, Roman Catholic.
I would say this. If you walked into a Lutheran church and you walked into a Catholic church, except for the if you took Mary out, all the images of Mary and some of the saints, it's a very similar look.
Well, we do have an image of Mary there at the creche in our stained glass window. But you're right, there may be statues and things of that nature. But yes, we have a crucifix on the altar. The outward trappings are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And that's no accident that really the only thing in the Mass that Luther expunged, that he removed, was what we call the canon of the Mass, where the priest would offer up the body and blood as a sacrifice on the altar. We don't believe that we're offering up a sacrifice. We believe it's a sacrament that Jesus comes to us in his body and blood mm-hmm. in the Holy Supper. And that was the only portion of the Mass. Other than that, Luther left it intact, the Gloria in Excelsis, the Agnus Dei, and other portions there. He kept the vestments, the rituals, because he felt those were aids to people's worship. But there were what we call radical reformers, mm-hmm. and these radical reformers tore up the churches back then, and it really made Luther irate. he would preach this series of sermons against them in Wittenberg because they were tearing out the stained glass windows, the statues, and things of this nature. So there was a radical Reformation as well. So I would say that Luther came down with Scripture, but somewhat what you might call in the middle, that he didn't go to one side or the other.
Is there any possibility that, and I think the answer is probably no, because we're too far along the path, but where the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church could combine and have some sort of an agreement where there just becomes one? And what are the issues that would have to happen for that to happen? Let's kind of create sort of a fantasy planet in which we say, okay, this is what would have to happen for the Lutheran Church to say, okay, we are going to be back part of the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church will welcome the Lutherans in. What would have to happen?
Well, you referred earlier to the Augsburg Confession, which was written by the Lutheran reformers in 1530 and presented in the town of Augsburg, Germany. It's interesting that Luther could not go there. They had to hide him, so his buddies had to go and represent him. And let me say one thing, too, how God moves in mysterious ways. The only reason Martin Luther survived and was able to do this was that he had friends in high places, mm-hmm. or as I say, friends in low places. He had political protection. The Elector of Saxony loved Luther, and they protected him and kept him. But at that Augsburg Confession, when that was presented in 1530, the Roman Catholics accepted some of the articles. Now, some of them were fairly benign, like on the Trinity or Jesus as the Son of God. They did accept some of those articles, but others they would not accept. They rejected. And then they wrote what was called a confutation. And the Roman Catholic side confuted the Augsburg Confession. Then years later, there was this big Council of Trent. In Trent, Italy, mm-hmm. and the Roman Catholics really codified things. So that was really disappointing. Now, where are we at today, Jerry, with all of this? Well, yes, there are still many areas of agreement in the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, and things of this nature. But the disagreement rests on the issues of purgatory, of celibacy, things of this nature.
A celibacy for
the priests.
Right.
Yes.
But that's not an issue which could...
Could it be divisive? Well, only if you insisted on it. Now, uh-huh. you can say celibacy is a preferable thing, but uh-huh. you can't make it a doctrine of the church, okay? And that's where the issue really comes between Scripture, because Roman Catholics believe in the Bible. They do. Mm-hmm. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they believe that almost universally everybody who dies goes to purgatory and has to have this purging, this washing away, and then you get time off in purgatory. And Mary has a role in that too, by the
right.
way.
Right. I want to continue this discussion because there are a lot of people who are Catholics in our listening audience, and a lot of people who are Catholics who are you know, there are a lot of Catholics, let's face it. And I think there's sometimes, you know, Lutherans are looked upon as sometimes as troublemakers to some people. And I wanted to see what it would take. What are the major issues that would have to happen for the two churches to combine? We'll be right back with Pastor Donald Jordan, the Reverend Donald Jordan of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran.
A promise was made. A promise that hit the beaches of Normandy. A vow that captured Iwo Jima. A contract that weathered Tet. A pledge that stormed the desert in Iraq. An IOU that braved IEDs in Kandahar. A promise was made to America's veterans. DAV fights to keep that promise so all veterans and their families get the benefits and support they earned. For help, visit DAV.org.
The Patrick Ranch invites you to celebrate fall with the Patrick Ranch Museum at their Autumn Fest 2014 every Saturday and Sunday, October 5th through the 26th. Admission is only $5 and children under 3 are free. Don't miss their pumpkin patch, hay rides, petting zoo, scarecrow contest, children activities, and much more. Visit the Patrick Ranch Visitor Center and Gift Shop to join them for their historic farmhouse tours and the Midway Cafe, which is open from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. They are located at 10381 Midway, between Chico and Durham. For more information, call 342-4359. That's the Patrick Ranch at 342-4359. And remember, you don't want to miss their pumpkin patch, hay rides, or petting zoo. 10 a.m. till 4, Saturday and Sunday. That's the Patrick Ranch at 342-4359.
Hey, need a lift? Just keep listening. Right here. Life Radio. KKXX AM and FM.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
A big day in the Lutheran Church. It is Reformation Day, when Martin Luther put the 95 Theses on the church door, really beginning the separation of the church, the Catholic Church, back then. What year again was that, Pastor?
1517.
It's almost the 500th anniversary.
Yeah, coming up.
Wow. Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, the pastor, Reverend Donald Jordan, they're at 750 Moss Avenue. If you want to give him a call or to learn more about the ministry there, call this number, 342-6085. And you're welcome to call and debate him on the issues, too. He's happy to. 342-6085, 10 o'clock service time, Reformation Sunday in the Lutheran Church. We were talking about, is there any way in which the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church could ever unify again? And I do sense that I've heard when we talk to the Catholic, many Catholics, we talk about, you know, what equals salvation? The equation we have is grace plus faith equals salvation. But sometimes it seems like the Catholic Church says grace plus faith plus good works equal salvation. And that equation's not a perfect analogy, but it kind of describes what Lutherans believe as opposed to what Catholics believe. Is that fair or accurate?
The mathematical analogy is probably pretty good. We believe that faith alone, grace alone, saves us through Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't believe in purgatory, of course. After when the point of death, you go to heaven or hell, judgment comes. But that penitential system still does exist. It's still on the books. It's in the Roman Catholic Catechism. Mm-hmm. I refer to it when I teach classes. And I think here's the important thing about churches. You can't go by individuals, because I know people in the Roman Catholic Church who are really Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people in the Lutheran Church who are Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. It can work vice versa. You have to look at the official confession of the church, Jerry, what it stands for in writing, because that's what you have to judge any church on. Mm-hmm. And so is there any hope for reuniting? Well, let me say, first of all, Luther did not intend to start a new church. He never saw it that way. That was not his intention. He wanted to clean up the church and continue on. It was a scandal that there had to be this. Luther was excommunicated by the Roman Catholic Church. He was consigned to hell. That's still on the books to this day.
Really?
It is.
Wow.
But here's the point. If we're to reconcile and come together, which we should, because that would be a God-pleasing thing, it is a scandal that we cannot receive communion together, that we cannot unite in our pulpits and altars and mm-hmm. preach the same doctrine. We have to do it on the basis of God's word. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We cannot do it by compromising or ignoring these great doctrinal differences. So there are dialogues that take place from time to time between the representatives of the various churches. Mm-hmm. I think we have to do it as laymen. I do it all the time here in Chico with people mm-hmm. who come and want to dialogue and talk, and I explain these doctrines to them. I'll debate them, as you say, and we come together, but we have to unite in the truth of God's word, and that's what's really, really important. While I still have time, because I know we're coming to the end here mm-hmm. quickly, I want to jump ahead a little bit in Luther's life and just say that he did make some very significant contributions. People can ding him because he made some harsh statements about the Jews and other things.
Anti-Semitic, some people.
He had a temper, and those are his private writings. I'm not bound to those as a Lutheran, and I reject those, and that's okay. I'm still a Lutheran in good standing. But what he did was he translated the Bible. He wrote a lot of hymns. We're going to sing one this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mighty Fortress is Our God, based on Psalm 46. What a tremendous hymn of comfort in the time of turmoil. He did all these theological writings. We have many volumes. Luther married an ex-nun, Catherine von Bora. You see a picture, an icon of Christ in the church there in marriage, of how pastors can marry women and love them, commit. And he had five children, but he lost two of those children, one in infancy and one who was a teenager, and it just grieved him. Luther suffered from depression, physical maladies. But in the end, he lived at age 62, and his last known writing as he was on his deathbed, I'll translate it out of the German, was simply this, and people forget this one. It said, "We are beggars, it is true. We are beggars, it is true." And he wrote that on his deathbed and put it in his pocket, and they found it on his corpse after they mm-hmm. prepared his body. The last words, "We are beggars, it is true." And what did Luther mean by that? That before Almighty God, we're beggars. Jerry O'Lennon can't throw up anything good before God. Mm-hmm. Donald Jordan can't throw up anything good and say, "I was a pastor," et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We're sinners, and we're only saved by the grace of God and Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the legacy of Luther for salvation. But I also believe it's a legacy to stand on truth of God's word and not compromise that, even when there's tension within the church. And yes, we love each other as Christians. We love Roman Catholics, Baptists, and all our brothers and sisters in Christ, even as Luther did. But we cannot compromise the word of God and go against Scripture. And that's why he said, "Here I stand."
A final word about Martin Luther. Martin Luther King, Jr., that's what we hear most about. We hear Martin Luther, and the people today think in terms of Martin Luther King Jr., who was a great man in and of himself. But that name came from Martin Luther.
It came from Martin Luther. His father named him Martin Luther King Jr. after Martin Luther for Luther's stance. But this is the sad part. Many young people don't know about Martin Luther, the reformer, and sadly, many Christians aren't aware of this either. So I really appreciate this opportunity on the show today to come on to talk about the Reformation. And Luther did post these theses on All Hallows Eve, which is Halloween, because November 1st was All Saints' Day, in which we remember all the saints who went before us. So it is a significant point in church history, and I really rejoice and give thanks to God that we have this opportunity to renew this again, not with any sort of pride, because we cannot be proud as Lutherans. We are sinners saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and it's only by God's grace that we have this legacy of the Reformation today. And for that, we give thanks to God and glory to Him alone.
What is the ultimate legacy of Martin Luther? You say his final words. You know, say those final words again.
We are beggars. It is true.
Okay, so what he's saying is that we come to Jesus with nothing.
We're nothing. We can say is, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And here's the good news, Jerry. He does have mercy on us in Christ.
And I think what's important is that all of us are like that. It doesn't matter where you are in the church standing or where you are. You know, I always come down to this past week, I was really affected by the death of Michael Tomlinson, who was as low as you can get on this earth. When we see people today, we look at them and go, oh, why? Let's give up on that person. That young person's going to go nowhere. He's nothing. He's a hoodlum. He's a bum. He's a problem. And you don't know. You don't know what God has in store for us. And,
absolutely.
And I think that's sort of what we learn here.
You live by faith and not by sight. And the mercy of God in Christ Jesus for Luther, for you, for me, for everybody, that's the lesson here. And I would say again, the legacy of Luther is Jesus Christ, pointing to that gospel of Christ crucified for our sins and the wonderful gift of salvation and life that we have in Him. And that's totally a gift of God, and we can only praise God for that. Because it doesn't matter who we are. We're all helpless. We can't defeat death. We can't forgive our sins. We can't get out of this trap in life. Only Jesus Christ can liberate us from that. And you have some very poignant lessons in people like this, in the pastor, Tomlinson.
Yeah.
But thanks again, Jerry, for this wonderful opportunity on the Reformation.
I loved it. So such good information. Pastor Donald Jordan of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church celebrates Reformation Day this Sunday. If you're interested in learning more about Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran, and you can contact Reverend Donald Jordan at his office, 342-6085, 342-6085. Service time, 10 o'clock on Sundays. Hey, have a good weekend, and God bless. We'll talk to you on Monday. So long.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Come in and see unbelievable pricing on dining sets, coffee and table sets, and complete bunk beds.
Holbrook's also carries dressers, recliners, futons, sofa, and sofa love seat combos.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Open 7 days a week.
CrossFit is elite training that everyone can experience.
Fitness programs come and go.
Greg Glassman, developer of CrossFit, has changed the world, transforming fitness into a measurable and meaningful sport.
It's like nothing you've ever done before.
All in-mo CrossFit classes and private coaching sessions are exclusively programmed by our 9 well-trained and diversified CrossFit trainers.
Once you experience it, you will be hooked.
You'll want to push yourself further and harder than you ever have before.
Discover an inner strength that you never knew existed.
In-mo CrossFit is designed for individual scalability, making it the perfect application for committed individuals.
Regardless of their previous experience or current fitness level.
InMo's CrossFit workouts are designed and built to incorporate constantly varying and focused exercise movements.
Performed at high intensity levels.
The best part?
You create the intensity level for yourself.
InMo's CrossFit programs are extremely fun and safe.
And best of all, it works.
Take your fitness to a whole new level. InMotion Fitness.
Come get some.
Get ready for a classic tale with a veggie twist.
What a beast.
It's Beat. It's a family name.
Veggie Tales, Beauty and the Beat, an all-new adventure on DVD, starring Kelly Pickler as Mirabelle.
I gotta show you love.
She'll show that everyone deserves a little love.
God loves us all, whether we deserve it or not.
You said it.
With 8 songs, including Deck the Halls.
Sing a veggie Christmas carol.
Veggie Tales, Beauty and the Beat, on DVD, October 14th. Available at Walmart.